This is Fresh Air. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. 5 years ago, Gerald Posner published a biography about the Nazi doctor Joseph Mengele. While working on the book, Posner met with Mengele's son, Rolf, and was struck by the force of Rolf Mengele's complex feelings towards his father, which ranged from condemnation to loyalty. Posner realized that he had read a lot about the experiences of the children of Holocaust survivors, but it seemed that the lives of the children of the perpetrators, the Nazis, had not been explored. Though it took many years to track down the children of the leaders of the Third Reich to convince them to talk, Gerald Posner has now completed his new book, Hitler's Children. He interviewed 12 children of high-ranking Nazi officials, including Etta Goring, Wolf Hess, Rolf Mengele, and Carl Sauer Jr. Carl Sauer Jr. and Gerald Posner are my guests today. Carl Sauer Sr. was chief of the technical department in Albert Speer's armaments ministry. He was such a close confidant to Hitler that he was named in Hitler's will. After the war, Sauer was never charged with crimes and continued to live with his family. Though Carl Sauer Jr. and his brother Klaus agreed to talk for Gerald Posner's book, many of the others refused.
Not only was it difficult to find the children in the first place, but of the 40 names that I eventually came down to, only 12 agreed to speak. And it was difficult even at that point to get them to talk about their innermost feelings. It's just not something, I think, that if I can make a broad generalization, it's not something that is very German in that way. I mean, we're accustomed to turning on the television in the States and hearing people talk about the children of famous people, talk about what it was like to grow up in the household. But it's hard for a German to talk about his innermost and personal feelings to his father, especially if that father was a Nazi official.
You talked about 12 people talking to you. How did you convince them? What did you say to them, you think, that made them want to talk about this part of their past?
I think that what eventually convinced them is the fact that I was going to print, and I did print in the book, exactly what they had to say. This was an opportunity for them to say whether they defended their fathers and thought he was a wonderful person, or whether they condemned their fathers and politically thought he was reprehensible, to say it and get their viewpoint across. There was a lot of suspicion when I first approached some of them, because they've been approached before sometimes by German journalists who knew where they lived, and reports had been done about their parents that they considered quite scandalous or tabloid, and they were very suspicious that anybody was really going to come forward and give them the opportunity to say their piece. But that's what I was interested in. I would sometimes have a child say to me, I love my parent. I think he was a wonderful person. The Third Reich wasn't terrible, but I don't want to tell you that for publication. I would say, well, that's exactly what I'm interested in hearing. Please sit down and talk to me. Sometimes they would, sometimes they would not.
Gerald Posner, you write about meeting Mengele's son, Rolf, who talked about really being tormented by his father's past and yet feeling protective of him at the same time. This conflict, this conflict between shame, I guess, and love, did you find this typical of these children?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Mengele's case is unusual only in the sense that he's the only one of the 12 children that I spoke to that actually was confronted with the choice of turning his father in. His father was a fugitive. He knew where he was. He believed his father was guilty of all the crimes, but still, as you said, could not bring himself to turn his father into authorities. Others had the same conflict. Norman Frank, who absolutely is torn by the image of a good and loving father and that of a criminal, said that if his father was alive and was hiding away from authorities, he still could not turn him in, notwithstanding that he thinks he's guilty of horrible crimes. And 11 of the 12 children, even those that condemned their parents, said that if their parents, in fact, had been wanted by authorities, they would never be the ones to actually provide them to the authorities. So there was some loyalty bond that holds, even in the cases where children condemn their fathers.
Carl Sauer, what kind of father was your father?
I think there's a little bit difference. We had the experience later when I had to learn to know my father. I was 5 years old after the war. He was very dominating at home, just like a little dictator at home. But I think one point to mention that most of the men described in this book had not the feeling to be guilty what they are doing on the day and changing their behavior on the night. Most of them switched in this behavior as a normal duty. They were not criminals in a sense we thought of criminals. They thought it's necessary to eliminate the Jews. That's a problem. I think it's a much bigger problem than to be only a criminal, a normal criminal. And so it's to C said the family situation didn't change. There were not two persons, two different persons, one good at night and one bad at day. It's just the same person. They thought they are working out their duty and they are just in the same kind, the family fathers at home.
Were these people then psychopaths?
Yes, I think that Goering was definitely a psychopath and that some of them were, but I don't think that all of them, certainly in this book, the fathers were psychopaths. And in the case of Carl Zauer's father, I don't think of him as a psychopath. I think of him as a very opportunistic man. I think of that if Hitler had in fact said it's Greeks who are bad or it's Turks who are bad, he would have been anti-Greek or anti-Turk. But Hitler said it's Jews who are bad, and therefore he was anti-Semitic. He really is the bureaucrat who is very efficient at his job, who decides to mimic and echo all of the beliefs of National Socialism, maybe not so much as an ideologue, but because he is enamored with Hitler and believes that's the best way to advance.
Was his then attraction to National Socialism just that it was as he saw it, then a solution to Germany's economic problems, or did he also have an attraction to Hitler, the man?
Both. In the beginning, I think it was just an attraction to a way of leadership, of government, to encourage technical developments, not to discuss it in democratic parliaments, but to decide, to develop, to go forward. When he met Hitler, suddenly it changed to the person of Hitler. Until his death in 1966, he ever mentioned that there was no greater man in history for him than Hitler, and it was a great luck to meet him, to be so close to him, to discuss such a lot of matters with him, and he never doubted it in any way.
Do you think if given the opportunity and if he had had a different kind of job within the Third Reich, that he personally would have exterminated Jews?
You know, it's one of the most difficult questions. It's really difficult. I think I'm not speaking now about my father. I'm speaking about anybody. It's very difficult to judge where is the edge, what everybody is doing. I think history learned us that a lot of people entered the edge, went beyond the edge, and did it. You know, 6 million people were executed in Germany. It's impossible that this was done by one man. There must be a machinery of people to do it. And so I fear, he would have done it too, but it's really difficult to judge it on one person.
Carl Sauer and Gerald Posner are my guests. Carl Sauer's father, also named Carl, was a trusted confidant of Adolf Hitler. He was deputy chief of the armaments ministry from 1942 until 1945. And Carl Sauer, the son, is featured in Gerald Posner's book called Hitler's Children. And Gerald Posner interviewed the children of prominent members of Adolf Hitler's inner circle, and their stories are in his book called Hitler's Children. Gerald Posner, I'm listening to Carl Sauer talk about his father and some of the conflicts as the son of this man, the conflicts that he's had to deal with. Is this, not that every story is going to be typical, but do you hear other children that you interviewed also wrestling with some of the horrible contradictions in their parents' lives?
Absolutely. No question. For instance, Norman Frank, the eldest son of Hans Frank, says that he's never had children because he doesn't think the Frank name should go on. He is so conflicted by this problem. In his mind is the image, he said, of the good and loving father and that of the criminal. There is a daughter in the book. Her father is still alive, and Dagmar Drexel. She actually discovered after the war her father's crimes. He had been indicted. He never told her about what. He said it had something to do with the war, but he couldn't remember anything. And she had a very, very close relationship to him. She discovered in 1974 a copy of the indictment in his briefcase and saw that every time there was a charge and it would say on this day, four Jews were taken to the pit and shot and thrown in, he had scratched out and put, no, it was eight because on this day I was doing this in the morning. And it stunned her. He had incredible recall. He remembered everything. He admitted his guilt. And she says that he's still alive. She can't talk to him. She doesn't let him near her own children. She cannot understand how this man, who was so wonderful to her, was also capable of this. Your question also a moment ago to Karl Sauer about whether his father would have actually been involved in the extermination of the Jews is a question that I think haunts many of the children whose fathers were not directly involved in the extermination. They wonder if in fact their fathers had that opportunity, would they have gotten blood directly on their hands? And the saving grace for some of them is they answer it differently than Karl Sauer. They say, no, I think that if my father had been presented with that opportunity, he would have said no. Of course, it's speculation, but that's always their hope. The worst situation is to be the child of somebody involved directly in the concentration camps.
What's then the difference between these children, between those who defend their fathers and those who criticize their fathers?
I find the difference really quite drastic. The children who criticize their fathers from a political viewpoint or a personal viewpoint are the ones who have had much more thinking about this. They've come to grips with this in a very, very different way. They take this as an obligation and a responsibility. The fact that their fathers were involved in the Third Reich, which hurt so many people and was involved in so many crimes, they wonder about how they will talk to their own children, what the obligation and responsibility is that they have to carry out in their own lives as a result of their father's duties. And I respect their position. In the case of the children who defend their parents, I find that there's a great deal of denial. They block out much of the history and what really happened. Wolf Hessus is probably the strongest proponent for defending his father and being proud of his father, really refuses to look at any of the historical facts that really describe the Third Reich and its crimes. Instead, he blocks all of it out. And I think in doing that, in having that type of denial, he actually carries this burden on for another generation. He doesn't allow his own children to become free of it. Instead, they really hear it only from him. They must now carry on this defense of their grandfather, and yet still they haven't been able to shake loose of it as well.
Karl Sauer, how much of the war intruded in your young life as a child growing up in Germany?
The first years after the war, we lived with my mother and the sister of my mother, five children, and we were very poor at this time after being very wealthy in the war time, of course. And there was a rumor, not spoken about, but it was a rumor. It's something untrusted to us. So I heard something a little bit about my father was a great man at the war time. And now we have to carry the burden of this. But it was never really discussed. When I was 12 years old, when I heard for the first time in school about the crimes in the concentration camps to the Jews.
That was the first time you'd ever heard those stories?
Yeah, it was in 56, 11 years after the war. It was never mentioned at home before, and it was never mentioned anywhere else before. So I was very astonished. I was, as mentioned, 12 years old. So I was very confused to hear about it. Until this time, I remember exactly, I thought there was something great, there was something happened in the wartime, and your father was involved in this in a high-ranking position, but I never knew until this time it was really bad. I was the feeling we are told it was bad, but there was no reason to believe it.
I'm speaking today with Karl Sauer and Gerald Posner. Gerald Posner has written a book called Hitler's Children, and he's interviewed the children of prominent members of Adolf Hitler's inner circle. Karl Sauer's father, also named Karl, was a trusted confidant of Adolf Hitler. He was also deputy chief of the armaments ministry from 1942 until 1945. We're going to take a short break. This is Fresh Air. Karl Sauer and Gerald Posner are my guest. Karl Sauer, your father cooperated with the Allies after the war. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. Not with the Allies, but with Americans, I would say.
Okay, with the Americans.
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
did he do that? Is this again his pragmatism?
I think so. Pragmatism, it's a more positive word. I would say it's opportunism, as Mr. Posner told it before. I think as he was opportunistic in his political or in his technical career in the Third Reich, besides his relationship to Hitler, I think he was opportunistic in cooperation with American. And I think his dream was to go to America one day and to rebuild something like that here, armament industry or something similar. And I think one of his greatest disappointments in life was that this never happened.
Can you imagine if indeed you had had the kind of father that you could have talked to about his life? Can you imagine the kind of conversation you might have had with him and what you would have asked him and perhaps even told him as a young boy or a teenage boy?
Difficult question. I hope so, but I'm not sure. I think my fault was that I never discussed it strong and serious with him until his death in 66. I was 22 at this time, and I regretted it very often afterwards.
You regretted the conversation?
Yeah. Now, not to not to speak with him in a real confrontal way.
Okay.
But nevertheless, I am not sure whether I would be able to do it really when I was 25 or 30 years. It's really hard to discuss it with one you know very well. You like him in the one or other way, and to confront him with his past when you see he is unable to do it by himself.
Could you do it now if he were still alive?
I don't know. I hope so.
Gerald Posner, were there children that did confront their parents?
Only in two instances. I was very surprised that even in other instances when parents survived after the war, for the most part, the children were not able to sit down and discuss the Third Reich, their father's involvement, and why they were not strong enough to have made a break with the Third Reich. The instances in which it did come up was in Mengele's case, his son at the age of 33 traveled to South America to see his father in Brazil at the time and confronted him over Auschwitz in 2 weeks of real raucous arguments at night. What he wanted to hear from his father, he told me, was, I was at Auschwitz and the things are true that happened there. However, I hated it. I tried to get a transfer, but it was my orders. He said that would have been enough to at least made me think that my father had some humanity in him. Instead, his father told him, don't question me about it. You'll never understand. We were doing the right thing and this is the end of the discussion. The other person who confronted their father is a daughter whose father is still alive. Her father was never convicted or charged with crimes, but he was a committed Nazi and early party member, Ingeborg Scheer. And she says that she's confronted her father in arguments for over 20 years about what happened to the Jews. And the best she can get her father to say today, he lives in Austria, is that maybe the extermination of the Jews was wrong. She said, after 20 years of confrontation and arguments, all I can get him to say is maybe. He can't even say, at the time I thought it was right, and now I know it was wrong.
Why has she continued this argument for 20 years? Why is it so important to her?
It is very important to her, she said, because she believes that if her father could express this fact that he now realizes that National Socialism was wrong, it would free both of them. She loves her father. She talks to him constantly. She tries to have a regular relationship with him. However, she also married a Jewish man, and she thinks that this was part of the rebellion that she had to teach her father that he had to be open-minded. Her father was absolutely catatonic at the time. He just could not believe that his daughter would actually marry somebody who was Jewish. One of the pieces of advice that her mother gave her at the time is don't have any children from them. You know they make such bad offspring, this mixed type of marriage. But he has actually allowed his son-in-law to come over to his house at times. The daughter believes that she's seen some cracks open up in her father. But literally, he's now 81 years old. This is somebody at the end of his life. And basically, he holds on to the old days and the old theories.
Carl Sauer, do you feel responsible for what your father did?
I think responsible, it's not the right expression. I think we have the obligation to talk about this as we do it here now. We have to confront ourselves with these things. And as a son of a leading Nazi party member or state member at this time, I think I have the obligation to confront myself and German society with the things.
I'm wondering, with the reunification of Germany, whether that gives you cause for concern that it might become fertile ground for fascism, only because there are some economic uncertainties. There are many uncertainties, I guess, associated with the reunification. I'd like to put that question to both of you. Carl Sauer?
Yeah. At the moment, I think we have in Germany the problem really with reunification in much more ways. For example, there is a right wing in this GDR population, in this old GDR population, under pressed for 40 years there. It's coming now out. There are skinheads in the east of Germany. We thought there will never be something like that. So you have to see, it changed a little bit, but in general, I think there is no danger at the moment in Germany for raising a new fascism, not more, even less than in other European countries or in countries around the world. But nevertheless, we have the obligation to watch it very carefully and to do anything against this and to stabilize democracy, the efforts for democracy in Germany.
Gerald Posner?
I think that there's always the possibility, as Karl Sauer just said, that fascism could pop up its ugly head in any troubled time in the European countries, in Central Europe and in Eastern Europe. However, I think that there's less of a chance of it today in Germany than at any time since World War II. Germany acknowledges, in large part, although there are certainly segments of anti-Semitism and there are people that want to revise history and say the Holocaust never happened, for the most part, the government of Germany and most of its people recognize these crimes took place, that there is a special obligation to this country, and they have tried to deal with it through restitution and other means, and they do discuss it in the media and in print. However, I've traveled, you know, extensively through Eastern Europe and other countries. In Austria, they don't even acknowledge their responsibility for these crimes, although they staffed the concentration camps in undue proportions. They say, we were victims. In Poland and Czechoslovakia and Hungary, I was shocked by the amount of anti-Semitism I saw recently, the possibility for fascism in the Serbian-Croatian split. So I think that there are other areas in Europe that have real concern, even more than Germany.
My thanks to both of you, Karl Sauer and Gerald Posner, for joining us today on Fresh Air.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Karl Sauer's father was a member of Adolf Hitler's Third Reich and part of Hitler's inner circle. Gerald Posner interviewed Karl Sauer and 11 other children whose fathers were leaders under Hitler's regime for his book called Hitler's Children. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne, and this is Fresh Air.